Welcome to Keeping Up with Kalinda, your shortcut to the latest in mass torts. You're busy, so we're diving straight into the crucial updates you need on MDLs, rulings, and key news.
Exactly. Think of this as your rapid intel briefing on what's moving the needle right now across several major litigations. Let's get started with the AFFF MDL down in South Carolina.
Okay, AFFF. So what's the latest buzz there? We're seeing a push to maybe change how these initial bellwether trials are going to look, right?
That's the key development, yeah. Plaintiff's attorneys have filed a motion asking Judge Gergel to consolidate the first bellwether trial.
Consolidate? How so?
To include 5 cases specifically, 3 kidney cancer and 2 testicular cancer lawsuits.
5, okay.
And what's particularly noteworthy, or what they're arguing is noteworthy, is that all these plaintiffs were exposed to PFAS, contaminated drinking water. And it's originating from the same Pennsylvania military base.
Ah, okay. So that's the common thread, consolidating them like that. What's the strategic thinking there?
Well, their argument laid out in their, I think it was a May 6th filing, is focused on efficiency and, you know, demonstrating commonality.
Okay.
They're highlighting the similar liability and general causation arguments, the same medical specialty involved urology, and the shared factual background of that contaminated Pennsylvania water source.
Makes sense.
They also point out they're all operating under Pennsylvania law against the same defendants who have, you know, similar defenses. They're using shared experts and even have the same counsel.
Okay.
And the fact that the community experienced high PFAS blood levels, that's another unifying element they're emphasizing.
So the goal is really to give the court and, I guess, the defense a broader picture, a better sense of the potential jury response early on.
Precisely. That's the idea. By presenting these 5 plaintiffs, let's see, Clinton Spears, Brock Donnelly, Kevin Volker with kidney cancer, and then Michael Behan and Alex Field with testicular cancer, they hope to get a more comprehensive read.
A read on how juries might view the core issues.
Exactly. The issues that underpin, well, the thousands of other AFFF lawsuits. We're talking over 19,300 now.
And I imagine the defense probably has a different take on this. Not keen on consolidation.
Oh, definitely not.
Yeah.
In a letter filed, I think, the same day, they've opposed it. They argue consolidation could prejudice the jury.
Prejudice them how? Just by the number of plaintiffs?
Yeah, potentially. Their preference remains a single bellwether trial. And they've suggested Kevin Volker's kidney cancer case as the one to proceed with first.
Right. Just to frame the scope for everyone listening, remind us of the size and context of this AFFF litigation again. It's huge.
It really is. Over 9,300 consolidated lawsuits in the District of South Carolina, all under Judge Gergel. These involve, you know, former firefighters, but also individuals exposed to contaminated water near places like airports, military bases.
A wide range of exposure scenarios.
Exactly. And the initial bellwether pool started with 28 claims covering kidney, testicular, thyroid disease, ulcerative colitis from various specific sites. That's been narrowed down now as they get closer to trial.
And this is separate from the water supplier settlements we saw.
Yes, it's important to remember the wider landscape.
Yep.
That includes firefighter lawsuits alleging direct exposure injuries and, of course, the significant $12.5 billion settlement 3M reached with water suppliers last June. But no personal injury settlements reported yet.
Okay, good context. Let's pivot then to the Bard Powerport MDL. That's in Arizona. We've got some clarity now on how those initial bellwether trials will be structured, right?
Exactly. Some much-needed clarity. Judge Campbell has provided specific guidance on the composition of the first bellwether trial group. This came after the parties couldn't fully agree on their selections. It was in a May 2nd order.
Okay, so the judge had to step in. What kind of cases is he mandating for this first wave? What's the mix look like?
Judge Campbell's directive lays out a target mix. He wants, ideally, 3 infection cases, 2 thrombosis cases, and 1 fracture case.
Infection, thrombosis, fracture.
Okay. Additionally, he specified catheter types, 4 polyurethane, 1 Groshong, and 1 silicone. And he wants 1 surgery-related case included as well.
Hmm. What's the rationale driving these specific categories? Is it just reflecting the bulk of the claims?
Pretty much. The aim is to address the most frequent injury allegations across the, what is it now, over 1,400 lawsuits against C.R. Bard and Becton Dickinson.
Right.
These suits generally claim design defects in the power port catheters, leading to, you know, infections, fractures, migration, other complications for patients getting chemo, other meds.
So the parties had already gone through some kind of selection process before this judicial guidance came down.
Yes, they had. They'd narrowed an initial group of 24 cases down to 15 for more intensive discovery. The idea was they'd then jointly propose 6 cases for the first trials.
But they couldn't agree.
Well, their submitted lists only had one case in common, just one overlap. So that left the judge with 11 cases to consider and ultimately led to him setting these parameters.
Hence the need for the judge to step in with this specific structure.
Okay.
What are the immediate next steps for the parties now?
Judge Campbell has ordered them to meet again. Try to reach a complete agreement on the 6 bellwether cases plus one alternate by May 7th.
Okay, so a tight deadline.
Yes. And they also have to file a joint memorandum before a case management conference that's scheduled for June 3rd.
Yeah.
So clearly the court intends to keep this moving.
Right. Pushing the bellwether process forward. Okay, let's switch gears to pharmaceutical litigation, specifically the Depo-Provera lawsuits. There's a new filing that seems to highlight some ongoing concerns about warnings or lack thereof.
Correct. A new lawsuit was filed down in Florida, end of April, by Katendra Welcome. And it raises, well, familiar arguments about the adequacy of Pfizer's warnings regarding the risk of intracranial meningiomas associated with Depo-Provera injections.
Okay, meningiomas. What's the core of Mrs. Welcome's experience as outlined in the lawsuit?
Mrs. Welcome received Depo-Provera injections starting way back in 2000. She was diagnosed with a meningioma in August 2022, which required surgery and radiation. And a central point of her lawsuit is that she was, you know, completely unaware of any potential link between the drug and this type of brain tumor.
And the lawsuit draws a contrast, doesn't it, with warnings provided in other countries? That seems key.
Absolutely. That's a major emphasis. The lawsuit highlights that the U.S. label for Depo-Provera still lacks a specific warning about meningioma.
Jill, even now.
Even now. In contrast, labels in the European Union and the U.K. now include it under special warnings. And Canada added it to their post-market adverse reaction list way back in 2015.
2015. So this international disparity in warnings is a key piece of the plaintiff's argument.
Definitely. It fuels the allegation that Pfizer was aware or should have been aware of this potential risk, but failed to adequately inform patients and prescribers here in the U.S.
So the allegation is essentially that Pfizer knew or had data suggesting a link, but intentionally avoided warnings in the U.S.
That's the crux of it, yes. The lawsuit alleges intentional avoidance, deceptive marketing portraying the drug as safe, despite having internal knowledge, potentially dating back to at least 1983, about progesterone receptors in meningioma cells. And Depo-Provera is a progestin.
Right.
So the legal claims are pretty standard for this kind of case. Failure to warn, design defect, negligence, misrepresentation.
And how does this new case fit into the existing Depo-Provera litigation? Is it joining the MDL?
Yes. Mrs. Welcome's case joins the roughly 300 similar claims already consolidated in the MDL in the Northern District of Florida. That's under Judge M. Casey Rogers.
And what's the status there? Is Judge Rogers moving towards trials?
Judge Rogers has indicated a desire to move towards early pilot trials, possibly by late 2026 or early 2027.
Wow.
The aim seems to be facilitating potential settlements down the road.
Okay. Keeping an eye on that one. Now let's move on to the highly watched GLP-1 receptor agonist litigation, you know, Ozempic, Wegovy, Mounjaro. We're seeing a potential expansion of the alleged injuries beyond just the stomach issues.
Yes, this is a significant new development, potentially very significant. One of the first lawsuits alleging vision loss has been filed.
Vision loss?
Yeah, specifically non-arteritic anterior ischemic optic neuropathy, or NAION. This suit links it to Wegovy and was filed in New Jersey by Kirk Osterman. It really marks a potential broadening of the litigation.
NAION. Okay.
Mm.
Can you outline Mr. Osterman's experience, what the lawsuit details?
Sure. Mr. Osterman was prescribed Wegovy for weight loss back in June 2023. After about a year of using it, he experienced blurred vision and then subsequent vision loss in his right eye, diagnosed as NAION.
And does the lawsuit reference any supporting research or maybe regulatory actions about this potential link?
It does, yeah. It cites a Harvard study from July 2024 that suggested, a sevenfold increased risk of NAION with semaglutide that's the active ingredient in Wegovy and Ozempic.
Sevenfold. That's substantial.
It is. And it also mentions a study from January that apparently triggered a European regulatory investigation into this very issue, GLP-1 drugs and vision problems.
Okay, so the central claim here, again, is a failure to warn, but about the specific risk of NAION.
Precisely. The lawsuit alleges that Novo Nordisk, Wegovy's manufacturer, failed to adequately warn about NAION despite allegedly possessing knowledge of this risk from preclinical and post-market data. The claims are failure to warn, breach of warranty, misrepresentation.
And how does this new type of claim, this vision loss claim, integrate with the existing GLP-1 litigation, the MDL that's already set up?
Well, to date, as you know, the vast majority of that litigation has centered on the gastrointestinal injuries, like gastroparesis, stomach paralysis.
Right, that's been the main focus.
Yeah, there's already that consolidated MDL in the Eastern District of Pennsylvania under Judge Karen Marston handling those cases. Currently, that MDL is focused on foundational issues, things like federal preemption, diagnostic evidence standards, establishing general causation for the GI injuries. They need to sort that out before scheduling bellwethers for those claims.
So this vision lawsuit is kind of parallel for now.
For now, yes. This Wegovy vision loss lawsuit represents a potential and pretty significant expansion of the litigation into a whole new and arguably very serious category of alleged adverse effects. Oh. Something definitely to watch.
Absolutely. Before we wrap up, are there any other noteworthy developments, maybe just some quick hits on other mass torts that folks should be aware of?
Yeah, just a quick rundown of some other active areas seeing movement. We continue to see filings in the sports betting addiction lawsuits against platforms like FanDuel, DraftKings, also ongoing litigation concerning nitrous oxide products, you know, Whippets and hair relaxers.
Still active.
Definitely. The Suboxone tooth decay lawsuits are proceeding, as is the Change Healthcare data breach litigation. That's a huge one. Additionally, still active suits involving angiodynamics, port catheters, processed foods. That's an interesting emerging area. And hair dyes, potentially linked to bladder cancer. And just a couple of dates for the calendar. There's an Oxbryta lawsuit related to sickle cell drug risks, with a trial now set for August 2027. And in the hernia mesh world, a second COVIDian bellwether trial, this one focusing on injuries related to the Symbotex patch, is scheduled for July 13th, 2026.
Wow. Okay. So a lot of activity across the entire mass tort landscape then, not slowing down.
Absolutely not. These bellwether developments, the new types of claims emerging, they're all key indicators for mass tort attorneys to watch. They can really shape the trajectory of these complex litigations. Staying informed is, well, paramount.
Couldn't agree more. And that brings us to the close of this edition of Keeping Up with Kalinda. We've covered some significant ground today, from those bellwether strategies in AFFF and Bard PowerPort to the, frankly, concerning emerging vision loss claims in the Wegovy litigation and the ongoing warnings debate around Depo Provera. It's clear these are dynamic, evolving situations.
Definitely a lot to track.
Thanks for joining us for this rapid update. So thinking about everything we discussed, what stands out to you as maybe the most significant development today? And how might that piece of news influence strategies moving forward? Something to chew on. We encourage you to continue following these developments closely.